morning and turn to page, get the song leading mixed up here. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. And we'll start with verse 12. And we'll read down through verse 22. Colossians 1, 12 through 22. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to be reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And to you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, and in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, I need your help. I pray that you would just be with my tongue and just control everything that's said. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. It's not me here, Lord. This is your word. And I just pray that you would bless it as we look into these passages today. I just cast myself on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in this chapter, in this passage, I just wanted to bring out a couple of things. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first fruit from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so we're talking today about Jesus, and we are absolutely nothing without him. And even creation can't continue to exist without God's sustaining power. But Jesus is the beginning, and all things were made by him. So let's see. Sorry, I didn't have a whole lot of time to study, but let's look down in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. So I want to look at the word mind and the idea of our thoughts. Compare them a little bit with God's mind and God's thoughts. But let's first go to Romans. This is our going to be our memory verse this month. Romans 11:33. Let's look at that a little bit. Romans 11, start with verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in these two passages, we see some similarities. And I want to focus on, again, the word mind, by the renewing of your mind. Let's go ahead and look at a few verses. Let's start out with, let's turn to Isaiah 55. I'm going to actually look at quite a bit of scripture today. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so we're going to look at a couple of examples of the contrast between God's thoughts and man's thoughts. Turn to Jeremiah 19. Jeremiah 19. And verse 5. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my heart. And then again in chapter 32, verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to the to cause Judah to sin. So we see a contrast there. This is what the mind of man will lead him to. This is kind of the bottom of the barrel there, but that's where our minds are, as our carnal minds, and it never even crossed God's mind to even think of such a horrible thing. So what is God's mind in contrast to this? Let's look at Second Peter. Yes. Second Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we see a direct direct opposite here in God's mind versus the carnal mind of man. God's not willing that any should perish. And this is just a tiny, tiny sample of God's mind here. And we'll see more of God's mind here as we move on. I want to look at some of man's thoughts a little bit more, just to see the complete decadent progression, I guess, of man, where man will go if he's left to his own thoughts. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Early on, we see this in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Even the imaginations of his thoughts were only evil continually. let's go ahead and look. I've got a few more. Let's look at Proverbs 24:9. Proverbs 24:9. I'm going to have to get a drink. Excuse me. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So, the thought of foolishness is sin. And we sure have a lot of that kind of thoughts going on these days, don't we? I mean, it's just rampant all over the world. Everywhere we look, it's foolishness. And now we're going to look at some verses having to do with the thoughts of the heart. Let's look at Proverbs again, 23. Let's just back a little bit. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So, talking about a backstabbing so-called friend, the world will trap you and bait you, and his heart is not with you. You can't trust the world at all. The world says, let your heart guide you. And that's a whole other story. That's one of the most foolish things that could ever be said. Let your heart guide you. The Bible talks a lot about that. We're not going to go into that, though. All right, let's look at another. Let's look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. Now we're going to see another incident, I guess we'd call it, where our heart and our mind can get us in trouble. Let's see if I can find thought here. Daniel. What did I say? Daniel 5:20. This is talking about King Nebuchadnezzar when he turned into a wild man. Verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. So, we see man being lifted up in pride. It says his heart was lifted up, but his mind was hardened by pride, or in pride. And so, just an example of where man's mind can, the trouble he can get in if he's not focusing his mind on the Lord. All right, so let's look at another. So God knows our thoughts. So I'm getting somewhere with this. Please be patient with me. But God knows our thoughts. And let's look at some scripture that will show us that. Let's look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It's a great verse, but that is not the right verse. How about 39 verse 2? That's where I'm supposed to be. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. So God sees our thoughts far off. Got a kick out of that, didn't you, Micaiah? All right. Well, it's all God's word. It's all legal, right? Okay, let's look at another one. Psalm, back to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Okay, so God knows our thoughts. And let's see, let's look at a couple more. Let's look at Matthew 9. I told you we're going to look at a lot of verses today. Matthew 9. You kids keeping up? I'm going pretty slow for you. Matthew 9, verse 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? There again we see the thoughts and the hearts, thinking evil in our hearts. But God knows our thoughts. Jesus knows our thoughts. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Corinthians 19. No, sorry, 1 Corinthians 3. And 20. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The thoughts of the wise. Talking about the people that are wise in their own eyes, in worldly wisdom. They're vain thoughts. And then let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God knows our thoughts, but God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And let's go to another one more verse on this subject. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, all the way back, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. So this is King David giving a charge to his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So, God searches the hearts, and he understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. And I've always thought that was interesting. It's not just he understands our thoughts, he understands the imaginations of our thoughts. He's going all the way down deeper than we even... He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And he understands us better than we could ever understand ourselves. And so, we can see here, just by looking at these verses, we can see how foolish it is to trust the world, first of all, and how foolish it is to even trust our own minds, our own hearts. We should trust God because he knows us inside and out. He created everything for himself. And everything is... everything is made for him, by him, and for him. Anyway, losing my thought, I'm sorry. I wanted to look actually at this verse a little bit more in Chronicles 28:9. Where'd that go? And thou, son, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. So I want to look at the idea of a willing mind. I'm trying to follow my notes. Let's look at... keep your thumb there. Might come back to that one. Let's go to again to 2 Corinthians. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So we see a willing mind here, and that's kind of the that's where we need to be willing. We need to be willing to allow God to take control in our lives, and so if we remember back in Daniel, talking about King Nebuchadnezzar there, he didn't have a willing mind, did he? He had a hard mind, remember that? And so we can see where that got him. Was that, how'd that turn out, kids, with the King Nebuchadnezzar? You remember what happened to him? His mind was hardened. His heart was lifted up with pride. He didn't have a willing mind, did he? So he was. He ran around eating grass and like a wild animal, living like a cow out in the field. He lost his mind because it was. He hardened his mind for the Lord. All right. Now I'm going to look at the new mind that we can have through Christ. So let's go back to let's go back to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians 10. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that really just kind of spells it out right there for us. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what that means? It means that we are accountable to God for every single thought. We're accountable to Christ for our thoughts, every one of them. Cast down these imaginations that get us in trouble. God knows our imaginations. Let's go ahead and go to Romans chapter 12 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What is he saying? What does beseech mean? It means I beg you, I implore you, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only the reasonable thing to do once we understand who God is, who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and our place. If we get a little bit of a grasp of our position with God, but if we're unsaved, we're headed to hell, and that's the condition of every unsaved person. All have sinned, and so understanding a little bit about who God is, and once we begin to understand who Jesus is. Says back up there, and let's just go back up to verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. I know, I forgot a point. Let's look at Amos chapter 4. Let's go over to Amos chapter 4 real quick. Amos 4:13. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So God declares his thoughts to us through his creation. And, of course, also, he declares his word, his thoughts to us through his word. And we can know more about God than anybody here in the Old Testament. We think about David and his deep, deep understanding of God. And yet he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't even have a lot of the prophets. And yet he had a deep understanding of God. We can know so much about God, about the mind of God, and thus what God expects from us. And that's why he says it's our reasonable service. And so let's kind of wrap it up here. Let's look over at Psalm. Excuse me. Psalm chapter 10. This is a psalm I was reading through the other month ago or something. And this jumped out at me. The Lord just really began to convict me. By the way, this message is for me. I didn't have any of y'all in mind. This is the Lord convicting me of this. And I'm hope that God can use this. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. I read that and I thought, you know, the wicked, yeah, of course the wicked's, you know, they don't think about God. They don't, they aren't living for God. But then I thought, wait a minute. God is not in all his thoughts. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Is God in all of my thoughts? And we looked into all these places where God knows the imaginations of our thoughts. It's like the thought of the thought. God knows about that. God sees that. Is God in all of the imaginations of my thoughts? That's convicting to me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Reuben, can you quote that? Go ahead.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy
paths. Thank you. In all thy ways he shall direct thy paths. What does it say? I just lost it, Reuben. Need your help again. Proverbs 3. Let's just turn there real quick. I'm sorry. Proverbs 3. 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see the word all there? In all thy ways acknowledge him. So God wants to be in all of our thoughts, all the time, all day long, all night long. when we're by ourselves, when we're driving in the car, when we're watching something or listening to something. He wants to be in our thoughts all the time. So I'm going to conclude with one last scripture. Let's turn to 1 Peter. And this is a challenge. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have we girded up the loins of our mind? Are we being sober? Are we ready? Are we watching? When Jesus returns, is he going to be in all of our thoughts? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the day. And I know that I'm nothing, and it's not about, it's about your word. These are your words. And I just pray, Lord, that these words would, you just work in hearts. And I know it's been convicting to me. I thank you for this time. Please bless the rest of the day. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.